So I didn't bring the notes, but who remembers Mark Sims' message? Anybody remember? Serving, right? Serving. And the least is greatest, and only God, right? And how about the letter from the Salvation Army? Was that good or what? And just to met, like I was telling Will, like that's the tip of the iceberg. Like God gave him a glimpse, a spiritual glimpse of this, what's happening in this supernatural in his ministry, right? And so each one of us, as we walk with God, we have prayer, we have outreach, we have messages, and we're walking with God, and you might not see things, but once in a while, you'll see a letter. You'll see something, God will show you. And but really, I think Mark Sims already saw it. He already saw it in the supernatural, right? Before he saw it in the natural. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been doing that all those years, right? Like, that's why we go forward. That's why we walk with God, because God gives us these little revelations in the spirit and the supernatural. And then he had an application. And I'm always like reluctant to give applications because that's the Holy Spirit's job. What did God tell you? What did God tell you to do with that message, right? So let's pray. Lord, we're weak and helpless. I don't have anything to say. I don't have a message, but you do, Lord. And nobody can hear anything, but you can give them hearing, supernatural hearing. And we just pray that you give me a message and give us hearing, that we could hear in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So one of these things I hear in evangelism, and especially when we went to Richmond, was I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And that's like a nice way to say, I'm not interested in Jesus, really. I mean, that's what they're saying. I was thinking about somebody who was spiritual, but not religious, and God sent somebody to him. Like Grace had that testimony, the ladies was like, did God tell you to come to me? Was there something about me? You know, like, and this is what happened. Cornelius, you know the story. He's a Roman centurion. He's spiritual in a way. He's devout. He gives alms to the poor. He prays. But he doesn't really know God. So he's spiritual. And God talks to him, and God talks to Peter, and he puts the two together. Right? And he reveals Jesus to the man. And one of the other things I was thinking about spiritual is creation. Creation. Creation has a supernatural message, right? Romans 1 says, if because of creation, if you don't glorify God, you're without excuse, right? And Psalm 19 says, creation reveals the glory of God. The stars speak. And day unto day they speak, they utter. Their line has gone out. There's not a language that's hidden from their voice. In China, they speak. In Japan, where the prime minister died, they're speaking. In Mexico, they're speaking. No language is hidden from their voice. And what are the stars saying? They're saying, there is a God. He's big and you're little. They're definitely saying there is a God because Romans 1 says, because of creation, if you don't glorify God, you're without excuse. So the stars are saying there's a God, right? And worship him, worship God. So this is a supernatural message, but there are people that see creation and they glorify creation without glorifying God. So there's some other supernatural message they're getting there. Something's interfering with the message the stars are speaking, right? And so there's really two spirits. Ones that glorify God and ones that don't glorify God. Or actually don't want you to glorify God either. And so if it's something spiritual, it could be however innocent looking or however subtle. If it's not glorifying God, it's going to be leading you away from glorifying God. And so, and it doesn't have to be directly against God. It can be, like the serpent was the most subtle, very subtle, right? And you can have an angel of light. Like there's false prophets in the church. And I think as Paul writes, why are you surprised that there be, even Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So you can actually have very religious and very spiritual and be the wrong spirit too, right? So the spiritual, and so what I'm talking about is angels and demons. And they're the same being. Like, I don't know if we realize this, the angels and beings are the same being. We're taught this in our mind with a theoretically, but supernaturally, when you're dealing with prayer, when you're dealing with spiritual realms, angels and demons are the same. I mean, there's different rankings, different power levels probably, but they're the same being. Angels are not little babies with arrows like Cupid, right? They're not dainty little women that look beautiful with wings. Anytime somebody sees an angel in the Bible, they fall down their face as though dead, or the angel says, do not be afraid. They're powerful. They're powerful. You know, you always see the pictures of demons are big muscles with scales and armor and claws and fangs. Angels are just as powerful as demons. Just as powerful as demons. And somehow our prayer affects the supernatural realm. Like, they're so powerful, there's a warning. Don't worship them, right? Don't worship them. Why would that warning be there? Like, and demons can come and try to get you to worship them. An angel's not going to try to get you to worship him. So I want to talk about the Passover, actually. I'll switch gears, but not switch gears. The Passover. So the Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 400 years, right? God told Moses to go tell Pharaoh through Aaron, let my people go. He goes, let my people go. And then 10 plagues came. You know, in Sunday school, you learn about the 10 plagues, maybe. And but I was reading the story, and I was like, I know this story. I've read it. Maybe I should just skim it, you know. And but all scripture is inspired, right? And I was like, Lord, just show me something new out of this story. And he showed me something that I already knew, but with like a fresh perspective. So I'm going to share that. So this is Exodus 7, verse 10 to 12. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Magic. A type of magic. Anytime you see the word magic, it's coming from one of two kingdoms. The kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. There's magic. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like matter with their enchantments, or another version says occult practices. For every man threw down his rod and they became serpents. So why are people spiritual? Because it's real. That's why. Spirits are real. And spiritual things are real. I think, you know, we're a little top heavy in our head. You know, in the garden, man was led by the spirit. And then the soul, the mind, will, emotion, self-consciousness came after. But think about some of those cartoons with the kid with the really big head and the little body running around. You know, like we're like that. We have a really big head. And our soul sometimes prevents us from sensing spiritual things or listening to God, who is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, right? But in spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit. And so our big head gets in the way. And I can say that because I got a fairly big head, so nobody will be offended. But so Then, but it says, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And we'll talk about that again later. This is Exodus 7, 19 to 22. God, to Moses, to Aaron, stretched out his rod, and the waters turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died, the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. What? They can do miracles. Like evil spirits, people that are into a cult can do miracles. Is that crazy or what? And Pharaoh's heart grew hard because he was like, there's no difference. There's no difference between those spirits and your spirit. You know, that's what people are saying. I'm spiritual, but not religious. There's no difference. Spiritual is spiritual, right? But there is a difference. And then Exodus 8, 5 to 7. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up out of the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. And the magicians did too. What? It's crazy. Exodus 8, 16 to 19. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice. Some translations say gnats. Through all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, and they could not. So there's some things, supernatural things, that they can't do, that God's doing. So now you're getting to a different level, right? A different level. And listen to what the magician said. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. The magicians knew who did this. But yet, it says that in James, the demons believe and tremble. Right? You do well. The demons believe and tremble. But are you accepting and receiving from God? They didn't want to accept God, you know, but they knew who it was. This is the finger of God. You know, Mark 2, the paralytic man, he's raised down through the roof. And what did Jesus say to him? First, he said, your sins are forgiven you. Demons can't do that. Satan can't do that. Nobody, nothing. Only God can do that. And that's what they said. Who can forgive sins but God? This is blasphemy. And then Jesus healed him. He healed him. And it's the finger of God. It's so supernatural, it had to be God. Only God can forgive sins. And it's so interesting. The magicians knew that it was God. In Acts 16, you have a fortune-telling slave girl, right? And she walks around and mocks Paul and those who are with him, mocks him, saying, these men serve the Most High God. And then finally, he got upset and cast the demon out of her. And but who was going to get their fortune-telling by her? And she was legit. She was really telling fortunes because after the demon was cast out, she couldn't tell him anymore. So who goes to her? Spiritual people, but not religious. Right? Spiritual people, not. Like, I don't like organized religion. Well, actually, in many ways, religion for religion is evil. Like, Cain was the first religious guy. The religious people killed Jesus, right? In that sense. But yet God still has the body of Christ, and he still has an organism that's not, it's not an organization, it's an organism. And yet he uses systems and organizations to facilitate, right? It's like this building. We're the church, right? The building's not the church. We're the church. But this building is a facility. It facilitates us meeting. It's great. And God uses organization to do that too. And so the seven sons of Sceva in Acts 19, they're a high priest, they're his sons, they see Jesus and Paul casting out demons. They go and try to cast out a demon in the name of Jesus and Paul, who they don't even know hardly. You know, it's like they know who they are, but they don't know Jesus. And the demon says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And so, but listen to this. Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Satan knows me. Satan knows you. Isn't that good? Like, he knows us because Christ is in us. And then we have a warning of hail. I'm not going to go through every plague, but at some point, plagues began to happen that the magicians couldn't partake in. They couldn't participate. They couldn't go to that level. This is a warning of hail. Exodus 9:20. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. So people, Egyptians, they feared another plague's coming, so they took their animals and livestock, put them under cover so the hail wouldn't hurt them. Yeah. You can live by godly principles and be blessed. Thomas Jefferson cut the Bible up in little pieces, you know, because he wanted that blessing, the earthly blessing. You can be moral. You can have a good work ethic. You can even be compassionate. And you can be blessed in that realm. And even a nation can be blessed with those godly principles, right? But there's a level it can't be blessed on. You can prosper, but it can't save you. It can't save you. Only the blood can save you. And that was the last plague, right? The last plague was what saved the Israelites out of slavery. And it's a picture of Jesus dying on the cross, the Lamb of God. And they put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, which represents our mind, but even the demons believe and tremble, and our heart. It represents the mind and the heart, right? And it's a picture. And it's it reminds me of the Chronicles of Narnia. Anybody ever seen the, or read the book? Read all the books as a kid. But the movie, like, really brought it out. Like, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Aslan sitting there. One of the things I really liked was that we are special. We got all this creation. And then the witch wants to attack a certain thing, oppressing everything, but really wants to attack, finds out the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve, they're here. You know, they're very special. We are very special to God. And Satan knows that and wants to attack us. But so the witch knows this. She has magic to a point. But Aslan had the deep magic. He says to the witch, don't quote the magic to me, witch, and then quote something else. Kind of like Jesus saying, it is also written, right? And it's like with there's an authority that's coming from God. And I was thinking too, like, Satan comes, he knows the Bible. He knows the written letter of the word. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And he's coming to kill. And he's using the letter of the word to tempt Jesus. To tempt Jesus. Is he crazy? Yes, he is crazy. That's true. He is crazy. And but Jesus was constantly in communion with the Father. And he had another word. He had the word from the Father. He was the word from the Father. He had a personal word from the Father that was higher. What he said in Chronicles of Narnia, he said, the deep magic. I've got the deep magic. It's like the stone or whatever it was that he had, you know, and that was written before time. And that's how the blood is. The blood is the theme all through the Bible. That's how Christ is. The entire Bible, it's our frame of reference, and Christ is the point of reference. Christ is the center. And Christ is the power and authority, and he gets the glory. And so how could Moses' serpent swallow the other serpents? How could the magicians not turn the dust into lice or gnats? And to the point where they said, this is the finger of God. It's Ephesians 1, 19 to 22. So Paul gives a prayer, and he prays for revelation, a spiritual revelation, not just an intellectual knowledge, but a spiritual revelation to come from God and show the people in the church the power of God. And this is what he prays. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, which when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. This is every spiritual dominion that there is. Christ is above it. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. That's spiritual, but not religious. I'm spiritual, but not religious too. In that sense, right? In that sense. But in the sense that we gather, I'm religious. In the sense that pure religion is visiting orphans and widows in their time of need, I'm religious. You know, in the sense that, you know what I'm saying? Religious without Jesus is another spirit. That's another spirit. It's a different spirit. And spiritual without Jesus is another spirit too. But forgiveness and eternal life, far above. Nothing spiritual can give that. Only the finger of God, only Jesus who paid for our sins on the cross. And so let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We pray for a revelation of your power, your authority, that we could not be blind to the spiritual things. If there's anyone here today who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, who doesn't know the higher spiritual things, just pray to God. Say, God, help me. I want Jesus. I want forgiveness of sins. I want eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have a little something. I was going through pictures. Is there anybody in here who likes to take pictures? Back when we had the digital cameras, Legion and I would get back off a long hike and say, we didn't bring the camera. Why didn't we bring a camera? We could have had all those beautiful pictures. So then, three or four hikes later, we'd finally remember to bring the camera. And we'd get back down to the bottom of the mountain and say, we took the camera. Why didn't we take any pictures? We should have taken some pictures. So if there's anybody in this church that likes to take pictures, I like pictures, send them to me. Send me your pictures. I like pictures. But so don't get upset at my lame pictures. Yeah. Let me see if this thing works. These are just a picture. That's good. Yeah. So we have singles group at 6:30, and I was going through pictures, looking for some pictures. Does it work? Boop, boop. Okay, next one. And I found this picture. And that's not too old, but we actually had a singles group a couple weeks ago where, I mean, it was packed. There was only like two seats left in the whole room. So I think God's moving in the singles group. Next picture. Okay, Richmond 31 is just 31 days in Richmond. And they had a Thursday evening service. It was their first service, and they asked me to preach there. And then they said, oh, by the way, Pastor Scheller's coming down Friday, which they didn't advertise it, didn't tell anybody, and like three times as many people came to that. But anyway, the next picture, Thursday evening service. For the first service, pretty good. They had two visitors, and Next picture. And they asked Becca and Esther to help them sing. Next picture. That's Pastor Ronaldo. He was a missionary in Africa for like 20-some years and planted churches, and he really knows the Bible. Next picture. And some people said, I invited him to that Friday thing, and I didn't have much notice. And they were like, well, we need notice, so here's your notice. That's July. Hello? Yeah. It wasn't on. So, there's the date and time. And I think we'll probably, I'm just guessing because I do things last minute. I plan things and then do them, but probably leave my house earlier to go down there and invite people to the concert. And if anybody wants to come with me, contact me. Otherwise, there also may be a group leaving in time to get there just for the concert. So you can call me for that, too, if you want.
Who's at the concert?
Some people playing music, yeah. Anyway, next slide. And then what Becca was talking about, the playground ministry, I call it, or I call it Little Mexico or Little Hispania. So last year, we went knocking on doors, and we ended up in this apartment complex, and everybody in the complex was super open. And Becca decided to go to the playground. And so when we leave, the kids are like, hey, when are you coming back? And she was like, you want me to come back? They were like, yeah. She's like, okay, next Monday you'll be here. And so she came back. So all last summer she went there. She taught them the Bible. And then this summer she started going back. And so they have a playground ministry. Next picture. And you can't see the playground, but the playground's in the background there where it all started. But this is like a little grassy area. Next picture. Okay. And so she has Carissa and Esther helped her, but they're going to be out of the country. So Becca needs help. So anybody that wants to help. Next picture. And it's also a parking lot ministry. Next picture. And just a grassy area ministry. Next picture. And so you get an idea. They bring crafts and they tell Bible stories and they teach them about Jesus. And then, I didn't say next picture. Surprise! Finland, Romania, and Moldova. So this is their trip. Okay, they already told you about it. I don't have any pictures of the trip, but next picture. Okay, so there's Finland, just so you get an idea. Does this thing work? No. Maybe I gotta turn it on. Ah, I bet I have to turn it on. Yeah, you gotta turn it on for the technology to work. So anyway, so here's Romania and Ukraine, and that little country there is the Republic of Moldova. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. And I that's how long a flight there is, but so this is to give you an idea of Europe a little closer. Let's see, where's Moldova? There it is. There's Moldova, where they're going to end up. And you see how Moldova is like surrounded by Ukraine. And it used to be part of Romania. Now they speak Russian and Romanian. And they also, Lydia told me to tell everybody that there are a lot of Ukrainians in Moldova. So they're going to be ministering to a lot of Ukrainians. And then this is in Finland. When they fly to Finland, they're going to come in here. They're going to stay a couple nights with the Romanian and French teens, because when Carissa was invited, she told the youth pastor that her head still hurt and she had symptoms of her concussion. And he said, well, if you feel better, would you come? And she said, yeah. So then she felt better and then she decided to go. So she contacted the She doesn't like me telling all these details. They say I talk too much. But she contacted the youth pastor and got a message back. He was on vacation. So she contacted the Romanian teens that were also going and found out when they were flying in and went ahead and booked the flight by faith. So she's going to be there with the Romanian teens. And then she told the pastor what flight they're going to be on, her and Esther. And he booked two more American guys that missed the earlier American flight to come with them. And so we're happy. There's two American guys that will be on the flight with them going there. And then they'll meet the Romanians and French. And the Romanians rented a Viking ship, which was cheaper than a hotel in Helsinki to stay on. So they get to stay one night on a Viking ship. And then they're going to go to church in Helsinki and take a 4-hour bus ride over to this place, which is where the camp is. And how long is that? Like 4 or 5 days? So they're paying for the camp and all that. So, and then, so you can't take this 2-hour and 45-minute flight because there's this country right here you can't fly over. So where are y'all transferring? Vienna? So they're going to Vienna, and then back over to Bucharest. And Legia, around that time, is going to be coming. Are you transferring in Milan? Oh, Vienna again? Turkey. Oh, yeah. On their flight over, too, your initial flight, you're transferring in Turkey to go to Helsinki. So how does that work? I don't know. Anyway, it was the cheapest flight. So then once in Romania, they land in Bucharest. And then they'll take a train to Brasov, and then they'll take a train to a place called Vlahitsa. And then they haven't figured out, but probably a bus to Chisinau, and then Solonesht. And they told me you don't pronounce the I. They yelled at me. That's Solonesht. And it's sht, because you see that S with the apostrophe under it? That should be under that. And that S with the apostrophe is pronounced sh instead of s. So now you know Romanian. So Brasov. Okay. They're going to be up here, and Ukraine is all over here. And last year I drove through Ukraine into Moldova, Chisinau, and then I went to Odessa and back. Anyway, not last year, 3 or 4 years ago. And that's it. So they've got some Moldovan food, and they were trying to describe polento, but it's like grits made out of cornmeal. Sounds kind of gross, but it's pretty good when you put the soup on it and stuff. It's pretty good. And it's a staple in Moldova. I hear they eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They'll eat it sweet. They'll eat it salty. They'll eat it with this. They'll eat it with that. It's like, anyway. We'll see you downstairs.